I'm going to look in the book of Matthew this morning, Matthew, the 24th chapter. And again, beautiful day the Lord has made. And I will rejoice even in the days that aren't so beautiful. All right. For he is good always. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 38 and 39. For as in the days that Noah were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then going on down to verse 48 through 51. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so we can all rest, relax this morning. I'm not teaching how to hypocrites. Okay, the subject I want to talk on really comes out of verse chapter 24, verse 38 through 39. For as in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving. And that sounds like today, doesn't it? Marrying and giving in marriage, you know. I was thinking that when I was looking at that scripture, Brother Griffith, I was thinking, you know, they should change that in the vows. You know, we took the vows till death do us part. They should say, until the first argument, first disagreement. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I want to talk to you for just a few moments this morning on the subject of the thought of packed and ready. Packed and ready, if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you this day. Thank you for your goodness, mercy, and love. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our life. Thank you for the word you've given us. We pray that it'll touch our hearts, the hearts of each and every one in here today. God, that your ministering presence, your anointing will speak to us. Help us to glean from the power of your word. Bind every spirit that would hinder in Jesus' name, and we'll give you the praise. Amen. Packed and ready. You know, when I was in the military, in the Marine Corps, they had a little thing called put on standby in the military. It doesn't matter what branch you're in. I think they're all the same. And it makes no difference. Suddenly, without warning, everything's canceled. You know, and there's a lot of things that happen in the world that the public doesn't know, and it's not on the news. There's a lot of things that take place that you never hear about, okay? And in situations like that, suddenly, without warning, everything's canceled. You might have had leave, and like my wife was, we were married and living on base part of the time. I was out in North Carolina at Camp Lejeune. But you and your wife, or you could have had plans to leave and had airline tickets bought and everything. And it might be an hour before you get out of there. And they say, on standby, ready to go, be ready to go. You know, we've got something taking place, and you got to be ready to take off. And maybe for days or even weeks, you know, you never know. No leaves, no passes. My wife and I lived on base, but we were not on base. We lived in military NCO housing, and it was off the main base, but it was right there by the gate, you know, where you could get right through the gate and get on. But when that came about, we lived there, and at that time, that was B.C. before cell phones, not even heard of. And in fact, we didn't even have a phone in our home, in the apartment, or the duplex we lived in, on base housing. But when that happens, the MPs come to the house, and they say, boom, 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 knock on the door, your husband's not coming home. Well, what do you mean he's not coming home? Well, he's just not coming home. Well, we can't tell you. All we just want you to know, it's not that he's up to no good. Thank God you knew that. It's not that he's up to no good. It's just that there's something that's taking place, and he's on standby, and he's not coming home. Well, how long? Well, we can't tell you. Well, we can't tell you. We're just wanting you to know Okay? And so as being one who lived in house-based housing with my wife, me and an NCO, I still had to keep a bunk at the barracks. I guess other branches did too. I see some shaking their head. We had to keep a bunk. I had to have a bunk with a full locker ready for CG inspection. Anybody in the military knows what that is, commanding general inspection. You had to keep a full locker. You had to keep a bunk just like you lived there because of that simple fact. You come in, like myself, you could come in that morning and they say, we're on standby. You're being shipped out. We got something going someplace, okay? You got your locker there. You got to pull everything out. You got to get ready. You got to be gone. That's all there is to it. Or, you know, well, you're on standby. We're not leaving, but you're on standby. You got to stay there in the barracks. You don't leave. You don't go home to mama, you know? And so with that, and with that situation, you had to be packed. You had to be ready at all times. There was no going home. Couldn't even call mama and say, hey, you know, sorry, but I ain't coming home. Hope I do sometime. But, you know, you couldn't say no. I mean, you're just, that's all there was to it. The men who lived off base had to maintain that locker, as I said, ready to go. Even though everything seemed peaceful, we had to be packed and ready to go. Okay? And so it is today in the world we live in. Well, I mean, not that everything seems peaceful, but, you know, it's beginning to come to that time where even so, you know, when is he coming? We've heard about this coming. You know, I remember Brother Jelly and many of the others, Brother, preaching on the coming of the Lord and all of this kind of thing. And you know, we've heard that all of our lives. And finally, we become numb to it. Because we say, where is the promise of his coming? And so we have to watch. So it is with the warfare we are in, we must be ready. Yes. We're not in the warfare that I'm talking about when I was in the service and at that time, but we've got to be ready. Because you never know when that trumpet's going to sound. But even besides that, even if the trumpet don't sound, you don't know if you're 20 years old, if you're going to see tomorrow or not. You don't know when you're going to see what tomorrow's going to bring. You never know that. And I think I've mentioned it before, but it's worth thinking about because I know we were in Florida one time and we were on vacation when I was pastoring and we rented an airboat thing, you know, to go out in swamps and all that stuff. And we're going out through there and these little ducks are just a swimming and having a good time. Whack, 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 you know. And oh, they look so cute and all that. And over here, about as far away here to that wall, swims about a 12-foot alligator. And over there swims an alligator. Now someplace else is an alligator. There's some up on the bank. I'm thinking, are you ignorant? Are you stupid or what? You know, I mean, you wouldn't even be an hors d'oeuvre. And you're swimming around here like nothing's going on. You know, just going about my daily business, just swimming along, quacking, just having a good time. And here an alligator is here, an alligator is there, and they could come up at any time and just have an hors d'oeuvre right there. And that's all there is to it. And I'm thinking, there's something wrong with your thinking. And then the Lord kind of brought it to me, well, isn't there something wrong with everybody's thinking? Because you see, no different than those ducks getting in that thing and swimming around like that with the alligators there. We get in our car and we take off and most people are killed within 25 miles of their home. They're not on a trip or they're not really going anywhere. And we get in our car every day and we take off and never think a thing about it and how many people are, oh, that's going to be somebody. That's what that little duck thought. And we just get in our car and we go about our business and we do our daily thing and we think nothing's ever going to happen, no different than that little duck swimming in the pool there. And so we go on about it. We have got, that's why I'm bringing what we've got to be packed and ready. We can't just be waiting, oh Lord, when even so come quickly. No, he might come quickly just for me. And so we've got to have that attitude and that mindset that we're not waiting on his coming and something's going to tell us when he comes so we can run and get ready. No, no, no. We've got to be packed and ready. We've got to be ready and ready to go no matter what, no matter what the situation. There's got to be a mindset and there's got to be a heart that says I'm ready to go and I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about if things happen. You know, I'm come to the place and I know it's bad and selfish and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just me. I'm bad and selfish. But I've told the wife, I said, I've come to the place in my life where I'm saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus, even if it's not for coming after the church. You know, you come to the place sometimes, Brother Griffith, where it's just like, it's a struggle to get up in the morning, and it's a struggle to go, and it's a struggle, and you just don't. And I've come to the place where I'm saying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. If it ain't for nobody but me, just come get me. You know, and some say that's selfish. Well, call it what you will. But, you know, as they say, walk a mile in my shoes. So, but we have to realize it is, so it is with the warfare we're in. We've got to be packed. We've got to be ready. Ecclesiastes 9:12 says, for a man knoweth not his time, as the fish of the sea that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. So it may not be, you may not think it's his time to come, but how we would live differently. I wonder, I know I would, if I knew Brother Griffith that he's coming this afternoon, or if I knew for a fact he's coming tomorrow. You know, I'm not living wrong in sin and not saying I never commit any or anything. You don't understand what I'm saying, or I think most of you don't. But anyway, we have to realize in that situation, we have to be ready. We just have to be packed. We have to be ready. It's not his time. How would we live our lives if we knew our appointed time? I wonder, would we live our lives any different if we knew it was our appointed time? Would I live any differently if I knew really that this afternoon something was going to happen and I was going to be gone? So that brings us to, well, what keeps, and I'm talking to me, what keeps us from living like that now? You know, what doth hinder me? Okay. Let's go back here just a second. We have to realize, how would we live our days and our time and our lives if we knew our appointed time? We want to think we're going to live forever. I used to think that. I've come to that end of that thinking now. But I used to think, I was going to live forever, invincible and all that stuff, But I've come to the place realizing now that it ain't so. And so we have got to realize that. Satan wants us to believe this. That's his insurance. He'd like for us to believe, as I did when I was young and foolish. I'm not young anymore. I still carry the other title. But he would like for us to live like I did when I was young and foolish, thinking I'm going to live forever. And we can be in church living for God, but we're not maybe really living. Man, I'm talking to me. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to me. I can be living for God and walking with God every day, and I'm not living my potential. I know that, okay? I know that. I'm admitting that to you. I'm walking with God. I'm living a Christian life. I'm not doing the drugs and the bars and the things that I used to do all the time. And I'm living for God and trying to do well living for God. We're putting forth a lot of our life and a lot of our time, but I know I'm still not living to my potential. I know that. So what doth hinder thee? What keeps us from living our potential? All the things around us. And again, I'm talking to me. My wife will vouch for that. Better not right now. But I'm not living my potential. We're involved in CR. Yes, we're involved in the hospital ministry. Yes, we're involved in this. And yes, we're involved in that. But still yet, there's other things that I know that's more important than I need to be doing. Okay, well, that's me. That's not you. I'm no condemnation. There's nothing to you. You allow me to preach to me this morning, will you? Maybe I need to preach to myself. Maybe I don't listen to others enough. I don't know. So we think we're going to live forever. Satan wants us to believe that. That's his insurance. We become taken in a net. We're like that duck or like that fish, you know, just swimming along and thinking everything's fine. And maybe the Lord doesn't come tomorrow, but he might come for you. He might come for me. Okay, that snare. Suddenly, instantly. You know, I mean, that's pretty quick. You know, I know of a friend of ours, brother, well, you know him too, Brother Irwin, used to be a district secretary. He and his wife were very good friends of ours, and they'd been to our house just the week before, and on a Tuesday, in fact, a Monday and Tuesday, and he died the following Tuesday. But he was just at home, and Sister Irwin said, you hungry? You think? He said, yeah. He said, I'm getting kind of hungry. He said, I think I'd about kind of like to have supper. She said, okay, I'll go in and get something going and fix something real quick, you know. And she went in the kitchen, and he sat down in his recliner. And pretty soon she said, well, do you want tea or do you want, you know, something, this to drink or you want that? And he never answered. She said, called him by name, and she said, do you want tea or do you want, you know. He never responded. She went and looked around. And she thought, well, he's asleep, sitting there in the recliner. No, he wasn't asleep. He was gone. Just that simple. Went and sat down in his recliner, waiting on supper, and he's gone. You know, I never forget that. That was such a shock to us when that happened. But you never know when things, you know, we don't have a clue. And so we can't be sitting around waiting and think, well, when the Lord comes, and we're waiting on that to happen, because we never know, he might come for us before he comes for anybody else. So we've got to be on our guard. We've got to be, it's suddenly, instantly, so it will be at the Lord's coming or your end. No warning. Matthew chapter 24, verse 38 and 39 says, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Does that sound like today? For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. You know, and I used to get a kick out of my mother-in-law, my wife's mom. She used to always say, well, you know, the Lord's coming back. You know, Annie, you know, many of you knew Anna Faye. And she'd always say, well, the Lord's coming back. You know, he's coming back any time, because you know what it said in the Bible, in the last days, they'd be building and building. I never found that scripture, but boy, she knew it was there. But I know the scripture she was making reference to. But yeah, you know the Lord's coming, because look at what's going on around you. He said in the last days they'd be building and building. Yeah, they'd be building and building. So, but it says, for as in the days that were before Noah, the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, they knew something was wrong when Noah entered the ark and the door shut by itself. But a little too late then. In Matthew, if you will, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 48 through 51, it says, but, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what concerns me? Go back a couple of scripture there, if you will, please. And shall begin to smite his... No, go on, back one more. Shall say in his heart, the Lord delayeth his coming. Notice what it says. But if that evil servant, in other words, it's a servant, somebody that belonged to him. Okay? It's not just another person. That's a servant. That's somebody that belonged to him. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. You know, I'm almost afraid that's where the church world is at today. The church world today is beginning to say, the Lord delayeth his coming. And I'm afraid if you look around in the church world today, and as I used to say when I was in Belvedere, somewhere between Mexico and Canada and somewhere between the Atlantic and the Pacific, okay? But if you look at the church world today, I think you will find that we are supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to savor, we're supposed to flavor the earth and around us, if you will. But I'm afraid today the church world, I'll leave it at that, okay? The church world is allowing the world to influence the church too much. The church is beginning to look and pattern more after the world than the world patterning after the church. There's things that we stood for years ago that we don't stand for today. And I might be going into something that's unpopular right now, but I've never been known to be popular in the past, so I might as well not break any traditions. But we have to understand something. We're accepting and we're taking in a lot of stuff and we're allowing a lot of stuff. I'm talking about the church world, somewhere between the Atlantic and the Pacific and Canada and New Mexico, okay? But the church is allowing things today that would have never been allowed or never even been thought of 30 years ago, 20 years ago. I can even go down to back to 15 years ago. Well, let me ask you something. Has God changed? The world is changing. We are supposed to be the salt. The church world is supposed to be the salt of the world. It's supposed to change and impact the world. And what I see happening today is the world has had too much impact and is having too much impact. We're afraid today to even preach about the transgender thing. We're even afraid today to preach about the thing with the gender. They don't know whether they're a boy, a girl, or a dog. We're afraid to. Oh, we're on the internet. Somebody might see that. Well, let me tell you something. The prophets of old didn't worry about what somebody might think. They didn't worry about what Uncle Sam thought. Oh, boy, I'm getting in dangerous territory now, ain't I? Somebody might be pulling on my coattail, but hey, I'm telling you something. We've got to look at it with reality. We're so concerned about what somebody, we're afraid to preach what God said. We're afraid to preach what's black and white, what's true and what's not. We are so concerned with what everybody else is going to think or that we something might happen or come against us that we're beginning to accept what the world and the church has got to stand. The church has got to stand. We got to stay true. We got to hold to the word of God. If he said it's wrong, it's wrong. If he said it's okay, it's okay. We cannot let Uncle Sam dictate what we preach. And I wouldn't say this if we was on the internet live. Because I know if we was on the internet live, my coattail would be pulled. And, you know, the thing of it is, we have to, that's the problem today. It is the word. And what really bothers me is the simple fact that the prophets of old didn't worry about what somebody else was going to think. They went through persecution because they stood for the word. We are allowing the world to influence the church. I'm talking about churches between New Mexico and Canada and you know, the Pacific and the Atlantic, okay? We're allowing the world to influence the church. We've got to be ready, folks. And I'm afraid the church world is beginning to think, where is the promise of his coming? It's not the world that's thinking that. It's the church world that's thinking that. Where's the promise of his coming? Because ever since the beginning, I mean, we've heard about this and now it's not happened yet. But I'm telling you something, even if it don't happen today or tomorrow, you still got to be packed and ready because you don't know when he's coming for you. You don't know when he's calling your number. I don't know when he's calling my number. So we got to be ready. It's time to put this thing into action and act like we really mean it, to go back to the times when fat meat was greasy. You know, all the old preachers, which I ain't one of them, but all the old preachers used to say they don't believe fat meat's greasy. Remember that, brother? You've heard that many times. Not that you're old either, you understand. We're both young. But that used to be a big thing, you know. Them people don't believe fat meat's greasy. Well, what do you mean by that? That means they didn't believe anything or stand for anything. You know, And I'm afraid that's where the church world as a whole is coming, because, you know, it's like I was talking with somebody. Well, as a matter of fact, Josephine and I were talking last week when I was taking her home from church. I said, you know, it's really something, because she had mentioned to me something about the church today and the difference and stuff. And I said, yeah, you know, it's really something. I said, used to, the Baptist and the Methodist shouted, danced, and some even believed in speaking in tongues, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What happened to that? Has God changed? I don't think so. I don't think so. People change, but God never changes. And so we need to realize that. We need to stop allowing the world to impact and influence the church, and we need to start influencing, trying to influence the world. And again, as I said before, I say again, it bothers me the fact, and what's really worked on me, Brother Griffith, is the simple fact that the prophets of old, you say, well, that was the prophets of old. Oh, really? Are we under a different measurement than they were? God don't look at us and say, well, you lived in a different time, so we won't hold the same measure. I don't think so. But the prophets of old were treated terrible because they stood and they would preach it regardless if it was popular or if it was not, regardless if it was accepted. And they knew, many of them knew, that they were going to pay the price if they preached it, but they preached it anyway. Why? Because it was the Word of God. And if it's the Word of God, it's going to stand how long? Oh, just for a portion of time until this century gets here, right? Until, you know, we've become so loose and the world has become so loose and nothing really matters. No, I don't think so. The Word, he said, is established in heaven, and it's settled forever. Forever and ever. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, in 24 or 48, through 51, shall begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come at a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. My God, I don't want to be, my Lord in heaven, I don't want to be given that portion. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And again, he said in that hour, that servant shows that this is one of his. He's giving us that analogy here. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him this portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping. Go back the verse before that, if you would, please. And the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour, you know, really, is the church world really looking for him today? We talk about it. We hear it a little bit. But are we really looking for him? I think if we was looking for him, we'd live a whole lot differently. I think the church as a whole, between Canada and, you know, I try to clear myself here. But the church world as a whole would live totally different and would be not near as acceptant as they are of things that they are today. But you see, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day, and when he looketh not for him, and the hour that he is not aware of. And I'm afraid that's where the church world as a whole is at today. We've come to the place that where is the promise of his coming? My Lord of mercy. I'm barely past 40. and I've heard it all. What are you laughing about? And I've heard it all my life. And so we finally come to the place to where we begin to say, where's the promise of his coming? And so we begin to loosen up. We begin to let down. We begin to slack off, back off. Hello? I'm not preaching something popular this morning. I'm not looking for everybody to stand up and shout. But I hope to the good Lord that we can begin to catch a hold of something here, because, man, it makes me sick what I see happening in the world today, in the church world today. It makes me sick. He says, delayeth. That means if people really thought he was coming back, do we think we'd live? I'd live differently. Fellowship, the love we would have for one another. talking about that fellowship, the love we'd have for one another, how that would change. So he talks about that. Satan wants us entangled with the cares of this world. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34 through 35, he says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. That's not surfing, by the way. Okay? And drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Next verse. For as the snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. For as a snare shall it come. It's going to happen. It's going to catch the church world. It's not just going to catch the church. It's going to catch the church world unaware, unprepared. Yeah, I better move on. We have to be continually packed and ready. We have to be continually packed and ready. Just like in the military. You know, you may not live there, but you had to be packed and ready. And in a moment's call, you had to be ready to go. So it is with us, because just like I said, it may not be the trumpet sounding and the dead in Christ rise. It may not be that. You may just be the dead that's rising, or the one that's checking out, basically, I mean. Okay? We got to be continually ready, packed and ready. Matthew 24, 38 and 39 again says, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man. They didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue. I mean, they had enough warning. They had enough warning after it was too late and the door shut to know, and it's starting raining. They had enough warning to know, uh-oh, something's wrong. And there's going to be a lot in that day when all of a sudden people or things have happened and they're going to be looking around saying, uh-oh. And there's going to be those that maybe, you know, that were in church or that did know and knew the Bible and had read it and studied it. There's even going to be preachers that have preached the gospel and preached the message that in that day will be saying, maybe some that will be saying, uh-oh, I realize. But you know what? When we realize then, it's too late. And knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall also the coming of Son of Man. Matthew 24, and I close with this. And I'm only doing one close, so you're lucky. Matthew 24, 43 through 44. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. In other words, if we had really known at what hour, like I said before, earlier, if I knew, and I'm talking about me, if I knew, Brother Griffith, if I knew for sure at what hour I was going to die, what day, tomorrow afternoon, I'll promise you over the next 24 hours I'd be living different. And I don't care what level we are at. If we knew that tomorrow that God's saying, come on home and I'm checking out, or hopefully come on home, okay? I'd be living totally different. So he tells us this, but know this in verse 10, 24, 43 through 44. Know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So when it comes to time like we're living in now, when we've heard it all of our life, and we think not, you know, he's coming sometime. And we begin to think not, he says, at that hour. But again, even if it's not the rapture, it could be, I could be called home tomorrow, sister. I could be called home this afternoon. I used to tell my wife, I said, there's two places, if I had to go, if I had my choice, I'd choose. And I guess one of them would be a wrong, I kind of changed my view on that because it'd be wrong. But one of them would be when I'm asleep. And the other would be when I'm preaching under the anointing. that'd be a shock for the people, wouldn't it? I got to think about that. I thought, well, that's pretty selfish, really. You know, because that'd be kind of, can you imagine that? All of a sudden you're preaching, you know, it's over. Some people be saying, he didn't even close. But God is good. He's merciful to us. But we just need to be on the ball. We need to stay true to the word regardless of what the world or the church world is doing. We've got to stay true, and we got to stay bold about it. We can't back up, folks, because Uncle Sam says something. Hello. We've got to stay bold. We've got to stay true to the word, and we've got to proclaim it. Even if it's not popular, we've got to proclaim it. The prophets of old never let that bother them at all. But I'm afraid it influences the church world too much today. God bless you. Let's find a place to pray. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, please.
Here, let me give you. No, that's fine. To those that remember,
I'm going to give you.
There used to be a book. You may can help me. It was, who's the guy that wrote the 88 Reasons the Lord's Coming Back in 1988? Not taking a lot of time. I wrote, it was in September. The weekend was like 18th, 19th, 20, 21, something like that in September. And we had, I'll never forget that Sunday. I know we had a good crowd on Sunday morning, but on Sunday night, this place was packed. This guy had written this book and it had become very popular. And a lot of people thought, you know, they didn't know like anybody else didn't know, but it was, as you said, it was kind of like the warning, you better be ready. And this place was packed. But my point was this, the next Sunday, it wasn't packed. Had a good crowd, but it didn't take long for that feeling to disappear and dissipate. So we do need to get ready. The first song I ever heard here was, I know our Lord is coming back to earth again. And he is. Amen. Good word, brother.
Yes, he is. He's coming back, and he's coming back for a church that is ready without spot or wrinkle. And I think, to me, that means we better not pattern ourselves after other churches and after the world. We better pattern ourselves after the Word of God. And I remember that very distinctly. We had several people. We had several people that came and got in church as a result of that. And some of them are still living for God, thank God. Some of them are, but most of them have fell by the wayside because, well, it didn't happen, so I just go on. But I'm telling you, whether it's him coming back or whether it's he says it's your turn, we got to be ready. God bless.